Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books are just for school, where book clubs are just for women, and this beer is going to melt the underwear off our bodies.
With what? With what, Jimmy?
Because they're so full of piss.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are continuing to punish ourselves for no reason at all by reading Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros.
And at least we know that there won't be another one of these for a little while now.
About 4 months.
And I'm starting with a beer. This is from Root and Branch, and it's called Drawing the Line, because that's what I'm doing with this book. I don't want to do any more. I want to draw the line here, even though I know I can't, but I want to. It's fantasy. I can imagine it.
You can pretend.
This is a triple India Pale Ale, which I've been told, I've been saying the name, it's not Copeg. Apparently, it's just Copeg, because the people of Long Island think they're from Boston now, so they just leave letters out of their fucking pronunciation. And it's very good, and I drink most of it, and I'll drink more of other things, and fucking fuck this book. Nate, take it away.
Okay, so at the endis of the lastis bookus, there was a big fight. We're definitely not recapping all of the first two books. Gotta listen to our episodes on that. So there's a big battle at Basquiat about where the Venin are trying to like take over because the wards have fallen. And don't worry, I don't understand any of those words either. But Violet's mom dies, sacrificing herself to get the wards
she gets sucked to death, Nate.
She does, yeah. She gets siphoned. Meanwhile, Zayden, in the big fight with the Venin, has somehow contracted a magical STD, which is why they can't fuck in for the first half of this book.
He's got wizard AIDS.
So, yeah. So, in any novel, in order to have conflict, you have to have the two characters who are into each other not together, or at least for part of it, because there's no conflict. So, they have to have a reason. In the second book, it was, you didn't tell me the truth about everything. And then in this book, it's because he has a magical STD. So he got infected by the Venin with something, and he's like, well, if we fuck, I might give it to you.
He would lose control, and his STD would take over his brain and make him into a Venin.
That's not what happened to RFK Jr.? Is that what a brain worm is?
Yes, that is what happened.
He's got...
He fucked that bear head he found, or whatever it was, a whale head?
It was a baby bear. Oh, no, that was a baby bear, but no, there was a whale that had washed up on the beach, and he found out about it. He went to the beach with a chainsaw, cut off the head, mounted it to the like roof of his car so they could drive back from Massachusetts
can't fit
to
the whole whale.
New York. And his daughter, who recounted the story, said it was the grossest thing. Because it'd be like fluids would just be like washing down the windshield.
Also, like a chainsaw, like it really gums up quick when you're cutting through flesh. That must have been a process.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, when I get rid of my drifters, I find it very time consuming.
So Zayden and Violet are now... They can't fuck, even though obviously they really want to, but they are the heroes who saved Bizgaiath. So heroes, so they're heroes, but are they hand truck heroes by other half?
Maybe.
You know, the heroes who deliver the beer to the beer stores. Anyway, this is hand truck heroes by other half. A DDH Imperial IPA. You know, like every beer now.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's good. It's very good. Maybe that's why it's every beer, because it's good.
So now they have to spend an entire other book having the same conversation again and again and again, like last time. But it's a different conversation, but it acts exactly the same.
Did you say exactly the same like this? I'm sorry. That's not
Yeah.
So I can't remember exactly what's going on in the beginning. I really don't.
Well, what happens, Nate, is that what do you expect to happen after this war is they have to go back to school.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a lot less school in this one.
But there's still not no school.
No. It's more like a semester abroad, this one. It's like
yeah,
Saved by the Bell, the new class.
They do a lot of long weekends.
It's more like spring break, you know.
But in between her missions, she's still going to class and learning dragon physics and shit. which is dumb.
Mostly she's like reading, trying to understand like the puzzle riddle books that her dad left behind.
Yes.
So this is where this book, it combines Wheel of Time and the Da Vinci Code. That's really kind of the plot.
And it also adds a strong dose of getting punched in the balls, because that's how much this book sucked, Nate. Don't leave that out of the formula.
Also, 100 Days of Sodom, because it's full of shit.
So everybody poops.
But yes, this one, their main mission in this one is they have to find the seventh kind of dragon called the Irids, which Andarna has revealed herself to be, because they need them to use their multicolored dragon breath to fire up the wards that can keep the Venon out of their world. But the entire breed of dragons has disappeared, and they have to go and find them. So they have to go to every other place on the map that we never knew about and visit other countries that we never knew about and we'll probably not hear of again.
And a bunch of characters you never knew about will get in fights, and some of them will die, and you will continue to not care about.
Well, they have to finish all these exciting places like Aracia and like, what was the very Italian one? Like Napoli? Something was like a very
I don't remember the name of any of the
and
fucking
like
other
Rhode
places.
Island. Like, they have to go to a bunch of exotic places.
But like, one, they're all just like clearly based on old civilizations. But if you never heard
much
about other than like one picture, oh, Devarelli.
Which is also almost certainly a type of pasta.
Oh, yeah. It's little pitchforks. Also, there's a new bad guy because they, much like the Defense of the Dark Arts teacher, they get a new one every year. New guy running the school to be a nemesis to the kids who's like, you kids just do your fucking homework and stop doing wars. And they're like, no. And he's Dane's dickhead dad.
Wasn't he also in the last one?
He was around. He got promoted now.
He got bumped up to boss of the thing since they killed the Grand Inquisitor last time because he was a torture fetishist. And now Dane's dad is like, I'm going to put some, you know, order back into these kids because they got to learn order for dragon school so they can do the war that we're currently also kind of fighting on the off pages, but mainly they need to be in school still.
The kids definitely didn't learn any order because, man, even though they're in the military, they never follow any orders ever. They only do exactly what they want, exactly when they want it. And who they want all the time.
They do what the main characters want.
Yeah, if you're the hero of the series, you don't follow orders.
They're manifesting. You know, they're just, this is what I want. But isn't that all books? The main character just does what they want in the fantasy world?
Yeah, but in good books, the author fools you into thinking there's some sort of rules that they're following. Mainly because they actually have the characters follow the rules.
The rules here are mostly sex ones. Like, you don't go ass to mouth, and then, like, you gotta get positive consent, and it's never more than one in the stink. I think, where's the...
That right? Is in the codex, yes.
The codex, I'm sorry. I think I was trying to remember the word. From the codex, Hustler, by the scribe Laris Flintus.
Oh, and also the guy, the boss man guy, he wants to make sure that he's being as big a douchebag as possible to the reader. So he's like, also, your boyfriend's a teacher now, so you guys can't fuck. It's like we care about rules. And then they don't. But also they don't. They only fuck or try not. Cause they can't anyway because he's got demon cum in him. And yeah. So there's multiple reasons they're not allowed to fuck each other, even though every time she sees him, she's like, I looked at his shoulders and I jilled so hard I shit my pants. You know, it's like every time she sees him for the first time when he like walked out of room, he's like, he came back in and my feet were soaked. It's like, what the fuck?
He has eyes that can melt the panties off of a woman. And this is, who are we talking about, Nate? What was his name? Ned something?
Yeah, so his name, so Zayden is his first name. Zayden with an X, because he's a bad boy. who doesn't follow
grammar.
Grammar rules.
Phonics.
But also his last name, and in this, it said it in this book more than the others. His name is Ryerson. That's his family name. And man, ever since the first book, every time they say the name Ryerson, my brain immediately goes back to Groundhog Day, and I'm like, Ned Ryerson. And so I choose to imagine in my mind that guy.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yes.
Famed character actor.
That guy, he's playing Zayden in my mind.
Do you know, there's this documentary about character actors, and he's one of the guys they interview. But he in the documentary, he talks about how his agent will be like, hey, there's a script that calls for a Stephen Tobolowsky type. And he has auditioned and not gotten those roles. Which is like peak Stephen Tobolowsky. Such a dweeb. He didn't even get the role that was made for him. I've watched multiple shitty like Disney kid movies that my kid watches and is like, is that fucking Stephen Tobolowsky the principal of this school? Like, he's just everywhere, that guy.
Tobolowsky gotta get paid, son.
In like,
and he fucks.
Yeah, eight bucks book. A day, or whatever the scale is for
SAG minimum.
Yeah. Sounds like your mom. Okay.
SAG so anyway, minimum. Violet, because she's also a scholar, or she was going to be a scholar, so she's still a scholar. She's reading all these old books about the venom in order to find a cure for Zayden, even though it's an STD, just, you know.
He needs penicillin.
Yes. So anyway, she's trying to find how to cure venom, or how people who have become venom, to make them stop. Also, at the same time, trying to figure out this, like, how to fix the wards, I guess. But also, her father, who died before the first book, has left her all these notes and is like all these books for her, and there I have like the book itself has like a password, which, you know, it's like your laptop.
It's like those old diaries you bought when you were like a little kid, and like you had to like set up like a pin number on it.
But this one has some sort of weird magic quill attached to it that if you get it wrong, it'll spill ink on it and fuck it up or something stupid like
it just
that.
It draws dicks over all the words and you can't read it anymore.
It's like, this is diaries. Just 8 equals D over and over again. I don't understand. And then occasionally, like, one of those weird S's you drew in middle school. And she's like, I have to crack the code, because conveniently, my dad has been fucking mementoing me this whole series with various books to guide me. Or it's more like P.S. I love you. He's been leaving, like, little notes to her to guide her.
She had to, like, get the books out of because Dane's cock blocking dad has now moved into her parents' old house since he's the boss, and she has to go like, Dane, sneak into his closet, ignore all the giraffe porn, get the books under those.
Well, because the general's quarters or whatever have a magic spell on them that only the person or their family can go in, because that makes sense in a country where the bureaucracy is uber corrupt and just, you know, lying to everybody about this war. But like, you know, but you never know when your second cousin comes to visit. You want them to be able to just waltz right in.
Yeah. Oh, also Zayden is now the Duke of whatever the fuck, and he's
Tyrion
the president
Lannister,
of that.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
It's very close.
Tyrannosaur.
I think it's Tyrandor.
Yeah. Yeah, it says Tyrannosaur to me.
Absolutely.
In my heart.
Sure.
He's the T-Rex of T-Rex land. And so, like, they have to treat him like a teacher slash student slash political nemesis slash ally, and also a constant thorn in their sides from his just sheer, you know, don't give a fuck attitude and rugged good looks.
Oh, so he's like one of those dick grad students you had in undergrad teacher class?
Yes.
Where they just think they're better than it, but they're not. And they're miserable.
There's that. I keep forgetting they saw that one teacher whose signet power is holographic PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you are just cursed to a life of academia then. Okay.
Well, not nearly as sad as the other guy who is his signet power is knowing how to like actually use the clippy guy from Word.
He knows Excel. You know, if you give really him a chance,
he could really be useful.
He's the numpad king.
And the thing that Zayden teaches is just basically fighting, hand-to-hand fighting, but also with your signet powers. But this is the part of the book that's stolen from Divergent. Because what do they do in that book? They just go and beat the shit out of each other every day. That's like, that's school for them. And apparently that's also Dragon School.
Yeah.
So a lot of this book is stolen from Wheel of Time. Or so the plot ideas are stolen from Wheel of Time. Like the fact that Zayden has like tapped this dark power, and it'll drive him either crazy or evil if he uses it, so he needs to stop. That's definitely from Wheel of Time. Also, channeling, that the whole that you're channeling this power, also Wheel of Time, even though this could have come from many other things before that too.
I was going to say, do you think that Rebecca Yarros read Wheel of Time?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Really?
It is a very widely read among people who are really into fantasy, which Rebecca Yarros clearly is. I looked her up once. She has done a couple of things, but they're never like big. Also, later when Violet is like, "Oh my god, I'm like in your dream." That's also Wheel of Time.
Mm. Yes, she manifests her second power that Andarna gives her. This one where she can go into other people's dreams, but also they're not really dreams. They're like psychic visions because the monsters are talking to her in the visions, and also they're like updating themselves based on recent events, even though they're repeating dreams. So I don't really understand how that works, and I'm not sure we're meant to. Not like, ooh, we're not meant to yet, but like I don't think it really makes... I'm not sure it's supposed to make sense because it's just plot bullshit. I don't know.
It is the laziest fucking writing thing that every character has a magic power to solve any plot point, but only when like they need to. And it was introduced earlier that in book one that Violet has two special powers. And everyone's like, what? And then it turns out in this book, actually, like everybody has two powers.
Yeah.
Because of a loophole that like because they filed their taxes by a certain deadline, they get an extra signet power. And now everybody has a secret second power and they're so dumb. I like the one guy, his power is flying faster.
I thought he was a teleporter.
He is, but it's like his, I mean, the Wikipedia article described it as, his name is Garrick. Garrick has a second signet, parentheses, fast travel. It's like, that's, what does he give, TSA pre-check? Like, what the fuck is
this? No, his butthole becomes like the Event Horizon drive, and he folds in on himself, goes to hell, and then comes back. Yeah, he goatsies through time and space.
That is the plot of Event Horizon, actually.
Where are we going? We don't need eyes.
And there's also this whole thing where she's occasionally running into, like, the Venom villain who...
Theophany. The least important philosophy genre.
And it's like, wait, I think the Venom have signet powers, too. It's like, yeah, it's fucking magic world. Like,
why wouldn't they have magic?
This is dumb. They became evil by directly channeling the magic of the earth. And she's like...
Skipping the dragon part. That's what makes them evil, is that they skipped using a dragon.
They don't use the dragon condom when they fuck the earth.
Yeah, it's like a lambskin condom, but it's an entire dragon that you put a dick into. So they raw-dogged magic, and now they're fucked up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Theophany also does affected. Lightning, and they're like, oh man, lightning on lightning time. It's going to be a shocking turn of events. And they're like, please stop, Violet. These puns are too much for us. She says, no.
Got a bolt.
This is my father's legacy.
But then, the very end, because I'm just going to spoil it right now.
Yeah, please. Let's end this now.
Not... So Theophany, the evil witch lightning wielder, isn't a lightning wielder. She just does storms really good and can use her storms power to also have lightning sometimes. But
and Violet is like,
I just didn't
class.
Notice because there happened to be storms at the same time. I thought she was a lightning wielder. It's like, wow, really?
Which I know we're looking, maybe we're looking into this, but you know, the whole point is like, oh, she's not like me. She's like my mom. She does storms, which, you know, I'm not ready for that. But at the end of the last book, her mother controlled the weather so that her lightning would be more effective. So wouldn't that be good to have storms around?
I mean, yeah. Or you could just do the storm right, and then there's less lightning.
Oh, this is the wrong flavor of storm for me. I need a different kind.
Oh, this storm has aspartame. Oh, God. it's got that weird aftertaste. Oh, I just can't do my lightning.
It's RC storm? Oh, no thanks. I'll have water.
Oh, man. I dropped off a patient yesterday, and the nurses there gave us, me and my partner, cans of C&C Diet Cola. I was like, what is this? It's not even RC Cola. It's C&C. Like, the C&C Music Factory make these now that they're not making music anymore?
I always thought that, now that, what's this, Pope Francis is on his way out, the Catholic Church missed a really great opportunity for a tie-in deal with RC Cola. And if it was... You know, because it's a Roman, if you ever see a church, it's like St. Francis RC Church.
Yeah.
And then RC Cola, and it's like Pope approved.
They can't get that RC Cola money. They're not big enough yet.
Yeah. I think the church is too big for RC Cola. That's what it is.
Because they wish.
The kids don't like it. It's hard to bribe a kid into the back of the fucking confessional with an RC Cola.
It's like, no, I'd rather just get fucked.
Listen, I'll let you. You could fuck me in the butthole, priest, but it's got to be at least Pepsi. I have standards.
So meanwhile, their main mission—they got to go find the dragons that are different, and so they have to go. They put together a team of characters we've never met that we don't care about that are quickly killed off on their first mission. And you're like, I don't care about these people. And then, of course, Violet gets to pick her team, where she picks like her friends, her ex-boyfriends, and a bunch of other cool kids that also I forgot about. And they have to fly around to all these different islands. Because where do the dragons go? Like, well, they're not on this part of the Earth, so they must be on the islands nearby, because that's the only place.
Did I leave my keys over here? No. Did I leave my keys over here? No. That's a half the plot of the book.
Yeah, but each of the islands is just a quick, like, Cliff Notes version of an old society. Like, one is, you know, all warriors, and they just fucking punch each other in the dick till they're dead, and then whoever doesn't get dick dead first is the king. And they're like, oh, these are, you know, I guess those are Spartans. And then next to them is, you know, the sissy philosopher. It's like, okay, I see where this is going, Rebecca. And also Zayden's mom is there.
300 at least once.
Yeah. Yeah, and Zayden's mom is on Philosophy Island.
Wait, okay, so... I'll admit, I only read half of this book, and I regret nothing. I thought his parents were traitors.
His dad started the revolution, and then they executed him, but his mom left when he was 10 and just vanished. Because
that was dropped in at the end of the second book. Like, my mom just like left when I was 10.
Yeah, remember, was it like, oh, they just mentioned his mom. I guess she's going to show up soon, and yes, here she is.
Chekhov's mom.
Yeah, Chekhov's mom.
Chekhov's
mom. If she exists, someone will do her. her people do this thing where they just like farm out their women so that they can have like heirs to kingdoms across the land, and like they just have like 10-year marriage contracts, and then they can just dip. And she's like, "I made you a cake. You loved cake when you were a child." And then her husband is like the king of that place. He's like, just kidding. I killed everyone already with the cake poison. She's like, whoa, my cake. And then Vias like, actually, I poisoned you before in the previous chapter already. I outsmarted you. And this is smart people nerd island. So that means I'm the best. And he's like,
so
oh.
That's even stupider than what I thought it was. Which, okay, so.
Wow, you thought it was better than that?
So, okay. They're like at the dinner. They're trying to negotiate for like whatever thing. You need to help us find these other dragons.
They're looking for allies to join them against the men. Yeah. But these people on the islands all stick to their own thing. They're like, no, we're cool out here. There's no monsters here.
And the evil prince or whatever, it's like, aha, I poisoned you. And then she's like, but I poisoned you first. I thought she was bluffing. I thought.
No, she really did. Yeah.
She really. See, okay. This is one of my. This is. This leads into one of my biggest criticisms of the book is Violet just cannot fail. They just like cannot fail at anything. And there's. It's not even close ever. There's no suspense, even in these big fights where they get into big fights all the time, where they should just like, you know, people should be getting killed all the time, but they don't. She never fails. She doesn't have any flaws or like difficulties with anything.
She has except loose sometimes, joints, Nate.
Except sometimes loose her joints. Bones hurt, but that doesn't actually stop her from doing anything. She's just like, ew, my knee hurts. That's it. That's her only. Anyway, she just cannot fail ever, and it's there isn't even any suspense at all. And this part right here, where it's like she already poisoned them first. It's like, well, okay, it would have been at least a little bit cooler if it was just a bluff. But I was like, okay, that's. I mean, but that's it. Also, be kind of stupid because like I'm just cooler than you. That's the like Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
The Ocean's 11 strategy was like we're just cooler than you. That's why we can steal all your money.
No, it was the Ocean 12s.
Is that when that guy like he goes through the whole process of stealing the thing and they'd already stolen it?
Yeah, Ocean 12 is the one where they did the whole elaborate thing and it was like actually we just stole it before like this whole thing started.
Yeah. And he's like, why don't I watch this fucking movie? It's like a French guy like doing the entrapment like laser beam walking.
Yeah, it's Vincent Cassel.
And they had already stole. He was stealing the decoy. They already got it.
So the one time that they do kind of fail, it was where finally
the writing.
Besides that, where Violet and her crew meet up with the other dragons, the dragons they've been looking for. I forget the Irids or whatever, and they're just like
iridescence.
And they're just like no. And the other dragons are just like, no, we're not going to help you. And Violet does nothing. They just do nothing. Like, oh, fuck. I mean, at that point, because they built up in the book, like, oh, this is our only hope. And the dragons are just like, no. And then they do nothing. Really, the book should have been over at that point. Series over. Sorry. I guess we're not doing anything.
Nate, you left out one of the best lines in the book, besides the melting of the underwear thing, where they meet the dragons find them, because, you know, they do that. Because they can like do camouflage like predator style, they just kind of like shift in and out of like the visible spectrum, and then they're like they're all talking to the people there like they talk to their own dragons, but they can talk to anyone, not just the people they're bonded to, and everyone's like, "You speak our language? Like you're from a different place?" And they just go, they literally say, "We are magic."
Wow.
In case it wasn't clear.
Well, we're magic. It's like, oh right, forgot about that.
You know what? If this was satire, that would be a fucking great answer. How do you speak our language? We're magic. Great. Let's move on to the actual stone. Plot. Even though there's a lot of things to plot about. Oh, we don't, because they're going traveling to all these different faraway lands. Like, do we speak their language? But yet everyone speaks the common tongue, also stolen from Wheel of Time.
I believe that's what they call your mom. Jimmy, do you think, why would you say Rosetta Stone? Wouldn't it clearly be Duolingo? For the dragons,
they're the reason Duo is dead.
I don't know why that is, but I'm still keeping my streak alive. Why did they kill the owl? They've gone out of business.
They killed him for marketing.
Oh, good, fuck him. Smug bird.
But yes, the magic dragons are like, we left behind this one of us, so we could check on you guys later. And we're all hippies, and we don't believe in fighting. And it turns out that you just fucked her up. And so, like, we're not going to help you because we're all pacifists. And they're like, we need you to help us because we're going to get exterminated. They're like, you know, you fucking deserve it. You shouldn't have been fighting all the time. Bye. And then they're like, okay. Of course, it's not the end because there's so much more book.
I am trying to find where this is in the synopsis.
Do you remember Luck Island, Nate?
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
That was the third island they went to was worshipped. The people there worship the god of luck. So they make them, everyone in the party, just pick out a card from like the deck of cards. And then like they give them a thing. Like one person gets like slapped in the face. The other one gets a kitten.
That's right.
Someone gets like a big shiny jewel. And then they shoot one guy in the chest. And like, I don't know who that guy was, but everyone's real sad. He's dead.
And then they go back. Another stupid thing. All these, just like in Divergent, all these like characters are there just to die two chapters later. So you hopefully feel bad about them, but you don't. But then when Violet and gang finally get back to wherever they live, they're like, and so-and-so died. Everyone is shocked. And it's like, they're both in the military, in a war, and getting in these fights and battles all the time. Being sad when someone is killed, yeah, sure. But they're really like, oh my God, how? What? They're like, no, this isn't like they got, you know, hit by a bus crossing the street. They should expect this.
You know why? Considering
they get
into
a fight every 20 pages.
I'm gonna call my shot here. The next books aren't out. But I'm going to call this, I'm going to say this is either going to happen in the next book or the book
after. This is Jimmy pointing at the stands.
I'm calling Rebecca's shot here. The guy they killed, the god of Luck Island, was named Traeger or something like that. I don't know. He was one of the Griffin Riders. And
does he make
is
gas
like,
grills?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Like a barbecue company.
Basically, he comes from grill money.
I think it's a wood pellet, though.
Wood pellets. Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
And he, you know, he dies, and his griffin dies of sadness. And they had hinted that he and Kat, who is Zayden's ex, were like flirting, and like, oh, he's been trying to hit that forever, and she's like finally like showing some interest. But earlier in this book, there's a throwaway line because one of their companions on this trip, because in the first iteration of the trips, what was it? Who the fuck is his girl name? Violet's ex-boyfriend, Halden, who is the prince of where their country and royal douchebag extraordinaire. He was on the trips, but he kept fucking everything up because he's a narcissist and he's impulsive. And so they say, you have to stay here. We're taking your little brother, Oryk, instead. And there's a throwaway line about how Kat looked over at Oryk like saying, oh, he's got some going on. So they had to kill off this other guy to make it sad for us and to make Kat sad so that now she's going to hook up with the current prince of the other country so that Zayden and Violet can be the prince, king and queen of the country there, and Kat can go on and be the queen of the other country, married to the prince. I'm calling it.
I hate it, but I think that's true.
I mean, could be. Because like that's how you resolve the plot about how Kat is still like Zayden.
Yeah,
still
also you resolve a love triangle in these books by killing off one of them. That way there's no more triangle.
Isn't that how it worked in high school?
Yeah. That's why there's so many school shootings.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah, that's what they were doing. Yeah. Dylan Klebold. And he's like, oh, there's a lot of love triangles I got to sort out. I hate this so much. Just tell me how it ends, guys, because I chose to do anything but listen to this audiobook. Misery was better than reading this audiobook.
They have a big fight. You think it's going to be the last fight, but it's not the last fight.
And so a big fight where Violet is about to get killed by the Venon lady, and then the other dragons just literally show up and save her. The definition of a deus ex machina, whereas the dragons just come and go, oh, no, we'll save you from that. I thought that was bad writing. Like, I thought you're not supposed to do that, and she just does it.
But you're forgetting, we are magic.
It's a magic ex machina. That's right. It's a deus ex magica. Is that better?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They save the day temporarily, and then they leave, and they take Andarna with them. So she's gone, and Violet's very, very sad, and she goes into a funk for a few days.
Because the writer has never survived the loss of their dragon.
But luckily she has two, so she has the other guy. So then they have to have another fight because the other one got interrupted before
another
the end
fight,
of the book.
Just like the final fight in the previous book where there's a city to defend and all the cadets have to go out and defend the city against the wyverns.
It's like where she's having the prophetic visions were at the dream city she was seeing, like, got to go to the dream city to fight the bad guys. And also they kidnap her sister. And she's got to be like, I'm going to save my sister. Or they like, you got to not do what they want. She's like, she thinks you're going to save her sister or try to save the whole city. She's like, well, I'm going to do something different. And I'm going to kill the bad lady instead. It's like, well, that, I mean, that would accomplish most of that mission either way, but okay, sure.
Violet, even though it's definitely a trap, she goes there anyway to try and save her sister, and the evil Venom lady is like, see, I got her, and just slits her throat. But it's Mira's throat. But she doesn't die because Brennan shows up and just like does his magic powers, even though it's like, this is an example of how they just can't fail. That just, and there's no suspense.
But someone else also shows up, Nate. Do you don't remember that?
No.
The girl who sucked their mom dry at the end of the second book literally shows up out of nowhere for this final confrontation with another guy, says, hey, I brought you this letter from somebody. And she's with him. And she's like, good thing that girl's here so she can suck another person dry to make his healing powers better, right in the nick of time. This girl just shows up whenever someone needs to have more stronger powers. That's her whole plot point.
And so Mira doesn't die because they just can't fail. And then they have more fights because, and it's like somehow one of the other, oh yeah, what I forget, I don't know any of their names because there are too many of them and they're all stupid. and they're all very generic white person names for the most part. Though it's less bad than Divergent because those are just all the same person. Anyway, so that gives her a new magic knife that's, and this time it's made of marble instead of alloys.
Oh, she gets that from the magic letter that they delivered to her right before the fight.
He delivers it to her because his magic power is he's a precog.
Yeah.
That's literally what it says.
Oh, he's from Minority Report?
Yes.
He's a precog, which means he can see the future. Well, it's like, well, why the fuck is this battle even happening? Couldn't you see how to head it off? I mean, this is the problem with the time turner in Harry Potter. It's like, oh, if you really think about it, that thing could solve every single problem in the plot. And so that's why J.K. Rowling just like, oh, we just don't do time turners anymore. We just don't have one. It's just not in the book.
I think the bigger problem with this final fight is one of the islands they go visit, they go to this temple and like Violet sees a girl who has like silver hair like her. She's like, oh, that's weird. That's like my hair, which I thought her whole family had that hair, but I guess not. I don't remember. Maybe that was too Targaryen, you know, silver haired fucking dragon people. But they go to this place and one of the places is the temple, and a temple for like a god they never mentioned before called Dune. And they're like, oh, the Dune Temple. Like, oh, you were supposed to be, you know, when we were babies, when you were a baby, your dad took you or your mom took you to get Duned. And like, it's a dedication to Dune ceremony, but they never finished it. You got the bar, but not
the
mitzvah.
They gave you a still suit and everything.
They didn't get it done. Dune.
And so she meets all the priestesses there. It's like, oh, yeah, you never finished your ceremony. And it's like, I don't know what that means. It's like, you know, you got to read the Torah more. And then she realizes that Theophany, the witch Venom lady, the bad guy, used to be a Dune priestess. And normally a knife wouldn't kill a regular Venom, but a knife made from the temple at Dune would kill her because Dune doesn't like it when people leave her church. So that knife works on her and kills her. So they have to introduce a god that didn't exist before this, and then make it this one woman's weakness and use that to, out of nowhere, kill her. Also, it implies very much that the gods are real in this world and have tangible things that they do, which opens up a whole new box. Like when they, you know, commend someone's soul to Malak whenever someone dies, like, yeah, you know, that's the gods they worship. Like, this implies that they're actually there doing shit. Which opens up...
Another fucking magic system on top of the dragons and the runes and the wards and the venom and all of these. Like, oh my God, this is just every... Now they're doing American gods. That's going to bring in American gods into it also. Got to just bring all that in. And, like in the last book, this power to defeat the witch lady is just handed to her by a precog. Which, as a plot point, is like Violet isn't doing things to like help that move along. It just sort of like arrives in her lap people just go up and hand her the solution to everything. And
they literally and give it to her before the fight.
She doesn't take actions to solve the mystery or to do the thing. She just like is there kicking ass and like lightning bolt people, lightninging people.
Oh, the double Jurandiv.
And people just hand her the solution to all her problems. But sometimes her knee hurts, so she has depth.
Yeah, she's like a middle-aged dad.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard the word sublocate, whatever the fuck the thing is.
Sublimate is a word. I don't know the other
one. But it's like when her joints slip out of place, something suboxone, I don't know.
Naloxone? That's the thing for when people are overdosing.
Yeah, I think suboxone is like methadone? I can't remember.
I have no idea what word you were grasping for. But she did use some sort of WebMD word for her
subluxation. There is it. Subluxated. Yeah. It's a medical term for a partial she keeps partially dislocating her joints.
I hate to be an optimist, but it means they're mostly located. The joint is half located.
You're a glass half full kind of guy. Your joint's half located. Why are you screaming?
Okay.
And then it she stabs her with the MacGuffin knife, and she explodes into magic, and then suddenly the whole world is getting really, really dark, and she realizes that Zayden is losing control and he's making the whole world into shadows. Because he's like, he can't stop edging, and he's so close. He's edging, edging, edging the whole book. Though they do fuck a few times on the islands where there is no magic. There's like magic has, it's like a Wi-Fi signal. You can't get it some places. I don't know.
It was like an EMP device.
No, you're in the wrong network. You know, you go to Canada and you got to get the new service, and but you don't.
No roaming.
Yeah, and they're in roaming territory. So. So then they can fuck,
yeah. Yeah, no magic here. It's way too expensive per minute. but he's freaking out, and he's blocking out the world, and then, like, she blacks out. I forget exactly how. It doesn't fucking matter, because he blacks out. She blacks out. We black out as the reader.
That's from the titular Onyx Storm, I believe.
Yeah, the Onyx Storm is the Onyx tingling that she feels. She feels colors of their bond. Literally. She goes, oh, I can feel the onyx tingle, you know, like well, their psychic connection.
We get it.
It's a bigger, blacker tingle than most other ones, you know. But she wakes up 12 hours later. He disappeared. The battle's over. Everyone's very confused. And she's got a wedding ring on. And that's how it ends.
They went to Dragon Vegas.
Yeah.
12 hours, they could do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to get there and back.
I guess she's married to him, maybe, who knows, and he's disappeared.
And he leaves a note that's like, don't come look for me. It's like, what?
He married her so that she would become a queen of Tyrannosaur if he died. And yeah, and that's the end. And that's the point when I realized that this was supposed to be less books and they're trying to stretch it out for money.
Oh, yeah. I think this was originally supposed to be a trilogy. And then the first book did really well, and they're like, make it five. And I wouldn't be shocked if it ends up being six or seven books, unless the interest peters out. Because like this book was way more popular than the last two, but it's also so much shittier.
Yeah,
because more people have heard about it. More people heard about it, so they're like, oh, I want to read the next one. Whereas when the first one comes out, nobody's ever heard of it.
But will people who have read, you know, the huge number of people who tuned in for this piece of crap, are they going to return for the next one? Or are they going to be like, yeah, I'm good?
Or is this an Allegiant situation where people are like, no, let's not even make the third one?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a fourth book will come out and a fifth
one. I'm sure they'll finish a series 100%.
But it is possible that they stretch it out even more.
Yep. So apparently in the original pitch, so Robert Jordan, who was like, I'm going to write, who is not even a published writer or not even like a big writer. It's like a Wheel of Time thing. It's going to be three books. That was apparently the original pitch to the publisher. It ended up being 13, and he didn't even live long enough to write all of them. So this is definitely a fantasy thing where they're like, oh, I you know, I've got my plan where this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is how it's going to end. Except I can stretch that out.
Look at fucking George R. R. Martin. That guy still hasn't finished those goddamn books.
Well, at least he's writing the same number of books he said he was going to write. He's just taking 15 years between books to write them.
Was it always going to be 7 books? I thought it was a smaller number at first.
Yeah, 7 is a very key number, thematic number in the series.
I mean, you read the Wheel of Time books. Like, did it feel like they were stretching it out at all? I mean, there's a difference between like 3 becoming 5 and 3 becoming 14 or whatever.
I was a very novice reader when I read them, so I did not have a good perspective. I will say that a lot of stuff happens. There is sort of like the third quarter really drags. I think he was setting up a bunch of stuff to happen at the end. It was kind of like definitely drags in terms of like stuff happening in the plot. And then he died. And then the books and then the 3 books that end it is like, oh, a lot of shit happens. Great. I wouldn't say, I don't know. I would have to reread them, which I'm not going to. So I can't.
That's what we'll do next year. We'll do all of the Wheel of Times in a row.
Oh, God. Find an edition bound all in one thing. It's like, that's my punishment book.
Like, just stand up to read it. Just like, the book won't fucking lay down.
Did you guys ever watch, it was like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place? Do you know that show?
I have no idea what that is.
Is that the real name of the show or is that the show within the show? I forget. But it's a British comedy thing. Yeah, it was Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And what the fuck was his name? Matt Berry.
Oh, it's Matt Berry. Okay.
And he plays like a Stephen King type writer. And at one point is a commercial for like the collected works of Garth Marenghi. And it's like one paperback book that's like 12 feet tall. It's all of them in a paperback book that it has its own like stand that you could just read them one page at a time.
It's really stupid.
It's very stupid. Very funny show. It's from like 20 years ago now, actually. But it was, you know, like one of those better British shows where they made like 5 episodes and they're like, we're done. And you could watch it one evening and never care anymore. But he has the collected works. And they were all like clearly like Stephen King. It's like a commercial. So they're like listing titles and it's like Stephen King kind of titles.
Christina, an angry truck.
Bad dog. That.
That's stupid. not as stupid as this book, though.
Oh, no.
Like, I was still kind of defending it the last time. Like, oh, you know, there's promise in there. But this one made me angry. It was just filler. It was just side quests and filler. And most stuff didn't need to ever exist. And the rest of it could have been put into the other books where they were having the same fight conversation the whole time.
And we left out so much. Because I only read listened to the first half, and then I gave up. There was a whole thing where, like, they get accused of being traitors, and then they get a pardon from, like, the Sultan or something.
Oh,
bullshit.
I remember. No, that was
That was this book.
That was the beginning of this book. Remember, this is how it was. They were doing.
That wasn't 3 books ago.
No. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. I remember it now. Oh God, I blocked it out. They are doing a thing where they're having alliance peace talks with like a neighboring territory.
Oh, the first quarter of the book is like Woodrow Wilson's 14 points, but with dragons.
And then they're like, we've come to an agreement. And you know, it was between the Griffin people and the dragon people.
The beleaguered nations, Nate.
Yes. And so like the big thing is like, oh, we want to make sure that the people who left at the end of the last book, now that we've returned to the status quo of the beginning, like it never happened, but everyone's still kind of angry, and now we're all in the same school together, like when Degrassi had that season where the other school nearby caught on fire, they had all those new students, and there was a lot of tussles, and then that one kid gets stabbed, and we all just move on, like nothing happened.
And one of them became Drake?
I think this was post-Drake, but I can't remember exactly. Uh-huh. But one of the plot things about the peace talks is like, we want to have amnesty for all the people who left, who left us to go help, and then now they're back. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. And so they're going to sign the deal one morning, and then they do some stuff that would have gotten them, you know, murdered or called traitors the night before, and then they sign the deal in the morning and say, oh, you just granted us amnesty. And the boss man is like, oh, you dastardly kids. That's literally what it was. What, I forget what they did, but it was like, yeah, you guys just committed treason. Oh, they alter the, oh, right, they fuck up the ward stones so that the Griffin Riders can also do magic instead of just the dragon people. They're like, you just let all of our enemies in our home base do magic. And they're like, yeah, but you signed a thing at 9 a.m. and we did it at 11:30 last night. And they're like, oh, you got us. Oh, well.
It's essentially the area codes
yes.
Defense. Yeah.
Different time codes in this.
Time zones, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And there's going to be another book later.
I know there's going to be a fucking movie. If it sold this many, it sold like 12 million copies in like a week or something.
A movie or a show? This might be
a show. Somebody's going to pick it up and they're going to work on it. And
I just hope Rebecca Yarros can use some of the funds to find a cure for Ehlers-Danlos.
That's duct tape.
Oh, right. Yeah. Knee brace.
I thought we were going to say find a cure for bad writing. When has anybody paid millions of dollars for bad writing ever improved?
E.L. James. No, I can't even finish that sentence. compared to this, the first book was fucking Proust. Like, this is the first book was like, all right, yeah, fine, it's dumb.
You know, the first book or the first season of anything is like you're discovering what is going on, and that is inherently interesting, finding out about new stuff. And this is just like, I mean, when that was over, when you didn't have that anymore, it just, there's just nowhere to go, right? There just doesn't go anywhere.
But she keeps good. Making up new stuff to discover.
Yeah. A
whole bunch of ethnically themed kingdoms.
Yeah. Is the trope of like the planet of the hats? Where, like, we go to this foreign place and everyone is exactly like this. So they go to an island where everyone does this one thing, and another island where everyone is this one thing. It's like, why? Why?
Well,
they can fit it all in a chapter.
Yeah. But, you know, that's because it's who has the time to introduce a new place and then also introduce their partisan issues?
Oh, they also had the island of, like, the, you know, rational atheists who just like money. Like the Ferengi planet or something? I don't know.
Wasn't that like big eared thing on Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, the Ferengi were the ones that are, you know, obsessed with money and have big ears and noses. And you're like, why did you choose to do that?
And they cut the tips of their penises off for no reason? Yeah, that was weird, strange.
Why even bring that up at all? First,
every once in a while, there'd be a plot point. Was like, I can't fly. It's a Saturday.
Let me see your whole penis and make sure it's not whole.
Well, it's the Ferengi, but they shortened it at Ellis Island. It was Ferengowitz.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I'm so glad I didn't read this book. I'm so sorry you guys did.
I'm sorry.
I paid for this, by the way. I've paid for the audiobook.
Oh. Well, now you have to finish it to get your money's worth.
No, I don't. No,
you actually get your money's worth if you don't finish it.
Yeah, I would pay money to not read it. I had went on my library's thing, and they had the audiobook thing, and there's like 160 people ahead of me on the line. I was like, well, that's not going to happen by next week. Fuck it, I'll sign up and pay for a month of Audible.
You paid for the privilege to have it shouted into your brain.
Oh, it's so bad. And then I was listening
also,
to
this
it.
Book, this audiobook made Cat British, and the last one wasn't.
Yeah, there was
it's the same person, the same narrator.
Right? It was, right?
Yeah, it was definitely the same narrator.
She's getting better, you know, by like book 12, she'll be pretty solid.
If there's a 12th one of these, I'll be dead by then, because I'll have killed myself.
She's churning these out, man.
Yeah, that's only like 3 years from now.
I just can't wait for the, you know, they're going to finish these five, and they're going to be like, what if we did five books about the people on Sparta Island and how they don't have dragons? I was like, I don't want that.
They could easily do a whole series on just the first generation of writers. you know, like the early ones. I don't want to read any more. No one should read this, right? No one should read it?
No one. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, reluctantly okay with the first two, but this one was just fucking stupid.
It's like the quality. It's like an incredible cliff. But like the first one was like a hit, like a hill, because it wasn't very far to go down. But it's like she like you're like, all right, this is where we're starting, and you're like, oh, this is pretty shitty. And then she found this abyss that goes into the gaping maws of hell. Like that's how low the quality drop off is.
I mean, it just suffers from the problem that a lot of, especially fantasy series, I think suffer from, is like we just have to keep adding more stuff instead of moving the important stuff along.
Or in book two, they have to. So book one introduces magic, a magic thing, and then book two is a thing that counteracts the first book's magic. And then book three is something that counteracts the second book's magic. And book four, you know.
That would imply something happened in book three.
Yes.
They got a lot of XP.
they just flew around trying to figure out what to do next for most of the time. And yeah, it was just filler.
Which ironically didn't happen too often with Zayden and Violet.
Yeah, it still managed to happen a bunch. And we still had to read really long sex scenes or have them whispered to me.
Which is, I think, the thing people like about this. By people, I mean women.
The people who like these books.
Dumb people. This book, they were trying to make it tantric. Like the sex didn't happen for a while.
You know what this one is? This one, okay, here we go. You know, he can't fuck her in this book because he loses control, right? And he'll turn into a monster because he'll let the power out. That is exactly the point of the early Twilight books, where they could never fuck because he would destroy her because he was too strong. And so they have to like do other stuff until like she's ready and just like, you know, like jack off on her knees or something, whatever they do.
Oh, like that weird thing where you like fuck their thighs.
No, that would also kill her.
So we see a wicked rug burn on them.
This girl's joints deadly fall apart.
Maybe he's like the sad guy at the gangbang who just like rubs his dick on her foot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting my turn.
Or the really happy guy at the gangbang who just rubs his dick on the people's feet.
No, you go ahead. I'm good right here. I'm right. That's
fine. I'm where I need to be.
I told you. So no one should read it. Will we read the next book? Almost certainly, it sounds like.
Fuck.
I really don't want to. This hurt me. It did.
Hey, keep your fingers crossed. The world might end first. It might not have to.
There's a non-zero chance.
There is that asteroid.
Yeah. Why aren't we worried about
that? That's not
going
to come fast enough, unfortunately. She's going to have like three more books by then. Anyway, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or follow us on the social medias. You know what our name is. And you can check us out on Patreon if you want to support the podcast, Drunk Guys Book Club.
And go to Goodreads and reads with us all the things that we have rode.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.